Maybe I should add my email address by spot.
Yes, please.
I keep forgetting. My email address is Mr. Freiberg, mrfreiberg at gmail.com. I will write that onto my blogspot as well.
Okay, and thank you so much for joining us, and please join us again Tuesday on My Perspective.
Thanks, Constance, for having me. Thanks, everybody who hear me. I greet you all. And Jesus Christ bless you.
Gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
www.themicroeffectlive.com.
Do not be distracted by the beautiful celebrities.
Themicroeffectlive.com.
Welcome to the internet, my friend. How can I help you?
Ooh, could that be email coming my way?
You have 1,200 messages.
It is a bit above average.
Your connection for information on hosts, advertising, promotion, sponsorships, and much more. www.themicroeffectlive.com.
I want the truth!
Themicroeffectlive.com.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
www.themicroeffectlive.com.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Hoo-ah!
In this next hour, the views of Mr. James Yeager. Mr. Yeager, are you there? Well, apparently Ms. Yeager's not here, so he'll hopefully be calling in very, very shortly. Is he here yet? Okay, Mr. Yeager, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Mr. Yeager is a film producer, and he's put together a fascinating film, and actually I had no idea until I actually watched the film that he interviewed a number of my friends, Ed Vieira, Dr. Ed Vieira, Ed Griffin, who I've known for 45 years, and talking about the Fiat Empire. That's the Fiat Empire, referring to the fact that we have a world that is based upon a fiat currency. And so, James, how did you get started, you know, on your effort to create a motion picture? How did you learn all about money, because most people don't understand it. They just think of money as something to be spent, but they don't understand how pivotal it is, how important it is to our very existence as a free people.
Well, actually, when I finished the film and I told all my friends, they said, "What's the title?" I said, "Fiat Empire." They said, "Gee, we didn't know you were interested in cars." And so I found out that a lot of people don't know what this word fiat means. And I guess about 10 years ago or so, I started getting interested in the subject, mainly through Mr. Griffin's book, G. Edward Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And I had been interested in banking a little prior to that, but he really opened up the subject. And as soon as I finished the book, I had to call and write him and ask him, say, "Hey, we got to make a movie out of your book." And so after reading the book a number of times and then researching some other subjects, I finally started shooting the film as actually a pilot to do a movie on each one of the chapters for his book. And it just grew from a 7-minute pilot to a 60-minute movie on the Federal Reserve System. And we released it, I guess, about a year ago. And I was pleasantly surprised to see that people took an interest in the subject, because most people kind of ignore the banking system.
Well, I think that people have to understand what the banking system is, because it basically impacts upon every aspect of their lives. I mean, if you want to destroy a society, you destroy its currency, and the whole society implodes. And so why don't you go ahead and explain to our listeners what a fiat system is and why it is so dangerous?
Well, the founders were wise enough to write Article 1, Section 810 of the Constitution, which basically provides that the money is supposed to be redeemable in gold and silver. And this is another one of the checks and balances in our system, that if the government starts printing up too much money, then the citizens can basically turn in the paper and get their silver and their gold back. And when the Federal Reserve System came in 1913, basically between 1913 and today, the redeemability of paper money for gold and silver has just vanished. Nixon closed the gold window in, I believe, 1971. Right now the money is basically paper. It's not backed by gold or silver. It's not redeemable. And this is very serious now, because this means that the government has no restrictions on it to print up as much as they want. And every time they print up more paper, they basically devalue, they dilute the paper that's already in circulation. So consequently, it takes 100 pennies today to buy what 5 pennies used to buy around 1950, actually, 1960. We've lost 90% of the purchasing power of the dollar. And a lot of people think that, oh, prices are going up.
Now,
and then they blame it on the unions, and they blame it on greed, speculators,
right,
and everything else. But actually, the value of the dollar is going up.
Sporting games, camping, or boating, or sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
The IRS garnished my wages, put a lien on our home, and levied our bank accounts. I had no idea what to do. Then my attorney told me about Assured Tax Relief. Calling them was the best thing I've ever done. They got us a settlement with the IRS that we could manage.
Call Assured Tax Relief now for a free consultation. 1-800-203-7479. Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more? Assured Tax Relief has helped thousands of taxpayers settle their debt with the IRS for just pennies on the dollar. Assured Tax Relief can help you. The IRS is offering you a one-time opportunity to pay your debt for much less than you owe. Call Assured Tax Relief now. 1-800-203-7479.
Assured Tax Relief got the IRS to accept just a fraction of what we owed. Thanks, Assured Tax Relief.
Assured Tax Relief's accountants, attorneys, and tax preparers are waiting to help you settle your debt for just pennies on the dollar. Act now before it's too late. Call Assured Tax Relief now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-203-7479. That's 1-800-203-7479.
Communication Network, and our guest today is James Yeager. We're talking about his video, DVD. It's called Fiat Empire. That's Fiat. And of course, it's for Fiat currency, not for a Fiat car. And of course, the problem is that there's nothing behind our currency. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just go into your basement and print up money and then you could spend it? Well, that's what our government does. If it needs money for wars, it just prints up more money. It borrows the money ostensibly, but they can actually print the money and increase the money in circulation. Between 1971 and 2005, they increased the volume of money 12 times and the federal debt 19 times, according to Congressman Ron Paul. But what we're doing, of course, is we're seeing the end result of this now, as we see prices rising. The government says, well, there's no inflation. Inflation is 2% or maybe 4%. And, of course, it's really up about 10 or 11%. And I always ask, are you going to believe what the government tells you, or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Well, James, why don't you go ahead with the story?
Well, when I interviewed Dr. Paul for the film, he basically said that fiat money systems have been tried a number of times in our history, and every time they've been tried, they have ultimately ended badly. And it's only a matter of time for this system, this current Federal Reserve System, to end badly. So the United States is right now is experiencing a real problem with its balance of trade. I mean, you used to be able to buy a euro for something like 75 cents, 79 cents, and now it takes 1.5 Federal Reserve notes to buy a euro. In other words, it takes $1.50 to buy a euro. So the value of Federal Reserve notes is going down. And of course, we have a really nutty situation going on. In the last century, empires have come and gone. I mean, something like five empires have come and gone. And Europe has totally bled itself to death and spent its treasure and blood on wars. And, of course, where did Europe get the money for these wars? They got it from fiat money. The Bank of England is the bank that started issuing fiat money. And Paul Warburg, who was with the Bank of England, came over here and attended a secret meeting in 1910 on Jekyll Island. And he and six other people from the government and in the opinion leaders and elite in the banking industry put together the Federal Reserve System. And they ushered it through Congress about 3 years later in 1913. So you could really say that the disease that we colonists tried to escape from 235 years ago has been brought back over from England to infest our banking system. The Federal Reserve System is based upon the Bank of England, thanks to Paul Warburg. So, you know, we may have gotten our independence from England, but I think they got us, they've come back and kind of bit us in the butt now with the money supply. And who was it? I think it was Amstel Rothschild that said, I care not who politically controls the country as long as I control their money. We will dominate. And I think that that's the situation that's going on right now. We have a quasi-private government-sanctioned banking cartel, which has been named the Federal Reserve System. It basically controls and issues all of our money and sets the price of interest. If you read Alan Greenspan's current book, which is out right now, called The Age of Turbulence, Greenspan talks on and on and on about how he believes in free markets this, free markets that. Yet he and a bunch of other guys in a secret meeting in the, what's called the Federal Reserve Open Committee sit around and set the price of money. So apparently there's a double standard. Everything else should be free market enterprise, but the price of money should be dictated and controlled by an inner cabal of insiders. And so welcome to the banking system. Welcome to what we have today. And, of course, why doesn't the media talk about this? We go into this in our film, Fiat Empire. We discuss the relationship between the media, the Congress, and the Federal Reserve, and how these three entities are basically highly symbiotic relationship with each other, and how they proceed. The government doesn't like raising money or raising taxes, and why should they when they can just print up more money, have their buddies at the Federal Reserve System basically purchase the T-bills that they issue. And the media, of course, doesn't want to say anything critical about the Federal Reserve System, because they like the perks they get from the Congress when it comes time to issue broadcast spectrum.
Well, I think that your criticisms are very, very well taken. I think most people really don't understand that as they expand the money supply, they simply steal the value of your currency, so that the dollar, I would say, that was worth a dollar back in 1913 would probably be worth about $96 today. I should say about 4 cents today. I mean, what they have done is just erode the value of the currency. 96% decrease in the value of the currency since 1913. The Fed was established to ensure the value of our currency, and they haven't done it. What they've done is enrich themselves, and when they can print money out of nothing, why, they can go ahead and buy up the media, which is what they've done, or sell the media to their friends, and then, of course, buy up the corporations and fund the great foundations and fund the universities and place their people in government. And they really are the invisible government. And they're
Absolutely.
Moving us towards a corporate fascist state. Now, what, of course, do you get, you in the movie, you don't get into what's happening today, but I think people have to understand the background of how we got to where we are today to understand that today the whole system is imploding. And when this implodes, most Americans are going to be impoverished. They're going to lose most of what they have. That's the great tragedy, because they are not making any preparations. They don't understand what a fiat money system is.
Right, that's right. I mean, they can protect themselves by, I believe, getting out of debt. I think you should take your credit cards and cut them all in half. I know I did that 10 years ago. I have no debt on cars. I have no mortgages. I don't think you should use any money that's borrowed, and I think you can deliver an effective blow that way. You know, the money, in the movie, we basically go into who are these insiders? Who are these people that own the Federal Reserve banks? Well, the Federal Reserve system is owned by the member banks. It's not owned by people. But the 12 member banks, the 12 regional banks that own the Federal Reserve system, the most major of those banks is the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And the owners of that bank are basically confidential. These people hold the stock of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The member banks that own the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, those owners are basically hold their stock in nominee, street stock in nominees. That means they have their lawyers hold the stock in their lawyer's name, or they have the stock held in their broker's name. And it's very hard to trace who actually owns the Federal Reserve and who these people are, these elitists that are profiting off this system. There's false information floating around the internet about who these people are, and we didn't want to. We found a very difficult time making specific statements, but we did find some documents that were the last published reports by the actual Federal Reserve itself on who owned the banks. And since that time, they've been holding their cards very close to the vest.
And of course, why can't they let the American people know who owns the central bank that determines the future of our country? And, of course, the thing is, if there's nothing to conceal, then why are they concealing it? Would you want to tell us who you think actually owns those shares of stock?
Well, why don't I make it a mystery for people that want to watch the film?
All right, fine.
I can say that some of the names are familiar. I mean, you have Rockefeller and Morgan interests that are in there.
Right.
But you have a certain other families and business associates that are have been in there since the turn of the century, the Industrial Revolution. You have some of the very familiar names.
Well, I think it's so interesting. You go back and you study the history of the second and third bank of the United States. I mean, the first central bank was actually created during the Revolutionary War, and it didn't last very long, and issued continental money and went back. The second bank was some people call it the first bank, was commissioned, I think, in 1791, as I remember, and its charter expired in 1811. But the problem with these banks was that they were owned by foreigners. I mean, about a third of the stock was owned by people who weren't even Americans, and that's one of the reasons why they did away with the bank in 1811. Of course, then we had the War of 1812 to punish us for that, and then we got another bank in 1816. That was the second bank of the United States. And, of course, once again, the stock was owned by foreigners. Is some of the stock owned by foreigners today?
You know, you can imagine who owns the stock. I'm sure that foreign entities and people own the stock in the major banks, the Federal Reserve member banks. I mean, for gosh sakes, something like China has something like, what, is it $1.5 trillion worth of our T-bills right now?
Probably about $1 trillion, maybe $900 billion. Dollars. But they get an awful lot of our dollars over there. In other words, they're holding a lot of that in the form of treasury bills.
That's right. You see, the problem is, the way the founders set up the Constitution, and this will be the subject of our current movie we're in production on, it's called Original Intent, which you can read about if you go to fiatempire.com. The problem is that we're just not following the original intent of the founders. And the founders wanted everybody to have a vote. The vote means that people get to vote. That doesn't mean that corporate entities, artificial entities and creations of the state should be able to vote. And what these multinational corporations are doing, in essence, who are non-citizens of this country, they really operate above the level of this country. They're in every country. They could care less about the United States and its constitution.
Hold that thought, James. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625. 885-6625 for BioSolutions.
Well, Dr. Stad, our guest is James Yeager, and we're talking about his film that he's put out called The Fiat Empire. And he does interviews, gives you the history of the formation of the Federal Reserve System. It was actually a secret meeting there at a place called Jekyll Island. They got pictures of Jekyll Island, where seven of the most powerful banking people in the world got together. But of course, they couldn't let the American people know, because American people didn't trust the bankers at that time. So this had to be sold as a federal system, a government system of controlling the wicked bankers, whereas actually it was a scam. It was all set up by the very wicked bankers that it was supposed to control. And nobody really realized that, did they, James?
Absolutely. And I might say, Mr. Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island is a must-read book. The book inspired the film. And this is the book you need to get. Just go to realityzone.com and you can get it right there from Mr. Griffin's company. Also, may I mention a few other things?
Sure, go right ahead.
Jim Ewart wrote an incredible book called Money, M-O-N-E-Y. This is the only book which has been authorized by the Secret Service to put out beautiful photographs of the $100,000 gold certificates that only the Federal Reserve bankers get to pass amongst themselves. You know, we all get these little pieces of garbage, you know, little pieces of paper that aren't backed by anything, but they use these $100,000 gold certificates. So apparently the only people still on the gold standard are the Federal Reserve bankers.
Right, and the central bankers of the world, certainly. But now they're selling their gold to try to keep the price down, because they realize that they're losing control of this system. That's really what's so exciting, is that, you know, it seemed like that there was no way to stop them and what they were doing. And suddenly the whole banking system is beginning to collapse right before our eyes. But if people don't understand what's going on, they're not going to be able to make arrangements to protect themselves. And that's why we do these programs. And that's
right.
Why I think your film is so very important.
Well, we concluded that unfortunately a lot of people are in such a treadmill these days, they don't have time to read. So we thought, well, maybe we better put this information into a film and see if we can't get people started on this. And when they watch the film, we hopefully will pique their interest, and they'll read The Creature from Jekyll Island, join Mr. Griffin's organization, Freedom Force, which you can go to if you want to do something about this, freedomforceinternational.org. And also, you know, read Dr. Edwin Vieira's books. If you go to, I don't have his exact website, but he's a fellow. He has 4 degrees from Harvard. We were very fortunate to have him in the film talk about the constitutionality of the Federal Reserve System.
Well, his and book is called Pieces of Eight, so you can just Google that in. Pieces, P-I-E-C-E-S, is Pieces of Eight. And it's a fascinating book. That's 2 volumes.
He also has a new one out about the constitutional militia.
Right.
But if you go to Google and Google him, he's going to be putting out Pieces of Eight as a digital book. It's not. It's been actually sold out in the volumes. A two-volume set. And he worked with Ron Paul, I believe, in the Gold Commission. So he is a wealth of information. And Dr. Paul has an article called The End of Dollar Hegemony. For those of you out there who really, really want to get Dr. Paul's view on what the dollar is all about, and the fact that the United States, the dollar is the world's de facto currency right now, but it may not always continue to be that leader, go to Google and put in The End of Dollar Hegemony and read Dr. Paul's 2 or 3 or 5 page article on that.
Well, of course, right now, of course, as the reserve currency of the world, why, of course, you can't buy, at least until recently, you couldn't buy oil without having dollars. And that's why most of the countries put their money into dollars and kept them in reserve so they could buy oil. But that's all changing. And now, certainly, Venezuela and Iran and I believe Dubai and a couple of other countries have just stopped using dollars. Talking about, you know, breaking the Arab countries away from the dollar, and if they do, why all these dollars around the world, trillions of dollars, are going to come flooding back into the United States. Remember, our monetary base is only about $700 billion. And you start flooding us with billions of dollars, and it's going to cause rampant inflation. It'll be like what's going on in Zimbabwe, you know, only or maybe even worse, maybe more like the Weimar Republic. Well, anyway,
right.
Chris, what is the message you're trying to get out to your people who watch your DVD?
We're trying to reintroduce them to the Constitution. The Constitution is the source document for the United States, along with the Declaration of Independence. And what citizens don't realize how vital these documents are and how they are designed to limit the government so that it doesn't become a fascist regime.
Right, and that's so important. Well, when we get back here, we'll welcome your calls right here at Genesis.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts, now to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Formidable Alex Jones says, "This is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story, but the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom."
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is James Yeager. James, would you like to get your website out and tell people how they can get the book, how they can get the DVD there?
Sure. If they want to go to fiatempire.com, they can get the DVD. They can watch portions of the show, and they can also look at the screenplay and the new project we have cooking right now, which Dr. Paul's agreed to also be in. And it's just fiatempire.com, F-I-A-T-E-M-P-I-R-E.com.
All right, that's a really a catchy title. It's something that people can probably remember. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, remember our number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Mr. Yeager, don't be bashful. I'm sure he'll be glad to answer it for you. But people have to understand the monetary system. They have to understand that it is beginning to unravel at the present time. And you know, I'm sure that the people who really are pulling the strings behind the scenes don't want this to happen. I don't think this is happening intentionally. They may very well be able to use it to their advantage, or we may be able to use it to our advantage. But the important thing is for people to understand what's going on and figure out how they're going to survive, because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that many people are not going to be able to survive financially or in many other ways when this whole house of cards comes tumbling down. What's the disadvantage to a fiat money system?
Well, first of all, Dr. Paul does suggest some ways that we can handle this problem in the movie, and so does Dr. Vieira. So the most likely scenario is that if we don't do something, it will come crumbling down, and then they will reissue the money as the Amero or some other currency. And Mr. Griffin does discuss that. But we have an incredible system, and if we apply the system, it does not have to crash. If people get together, educate themselves on what's going on with the banking system, and do something, we do have the mechanisms to right the ship. And basically, what it comes down to is this: don't bother writing your congressman. That's not going to do any good. And don't bother doing drastic things, because that's going to be too extremist. But what you can do is simply, when you go to the voting booth, just don't vote for any incumbents. Don't vote for anybody who is already in office. And if you're a Democrat, vote for a brand new Democrat. If you're a Republican, vote for a brand new Republican. If you're a Libertarian, vote for a brand new one. Don't vote for any incumbents, and just purge the whole Congress. And, of course, voting in Dr. Paul to the presidency would be a great thing, too, because 41% of the people out there are now basically considered independents. So if Dr. Paul does switch over to an independent party, and we've got the Republicans and the Democrats, and him there with all the exposure he's gotten, and 41% of the people out there are independents, there is a really good chance he could actually get elected president. Because where else can people go when you look at all the mathematical, the calculus of the situation? So if you don't vote for any incumbents, you're going to be able to knock out vote swapping. If you don't vote for any incumbents, you're going to be able to knock out campaign contributions, because these people won't have the social network. And you're also going to be able to knock out earmarks and pork, because they won't be able to have their social network going to allow them to do these three things, which basically amount to collusion, bribery, and fraud. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, sure. So at any rate, people ask, what can you do? Okay, here's what you can do. You can watch the movie. You can read the book suggested in the movie. Get yourself booked up on the subject. Don't vote for any incumbents. That means just flush the Congress clean. Get out all the people that are already there. Because if you sit there and you try to figure out who's the good congressman, who's the bad one, nobody will agree on anything, and nothing will ever change. And usually people just vote for their guy. They think that they love their congressman, that he's the guy that's not doing any wrong. And they love their public school, right? Everyone else's congressman, everyone else's public school is lousy. But you have to take a broader view than that. You've got to take the view that each American has to do their duty and get rid of these people that are... Hello? Can you hear me? Anyway... If anyone's out there and can hear me, I don't know, we're having some problems with the phone here. By voting out the incumbents... Hello?
Go right ahead.
By voting out the incumbents, you will effectively purge the Congress of the highly networked professionals that have taken over the government and who are using corporate money to sustain their reconfiguration of the laws of this country to suit their purposes. And this is the reason the middle class is eroding. This is the reason we have the elites running the banking system. These people have got to be voted out. I mean, Stalin would have shot them all. Just to let you know how serious it is. Now, I certainly don't advocate that, and that's, of course, why we have a democracy, so we can vote them out. We don't have to shoot them. But it's really to the point where the Congress has got to be changed so that the vote-swapping campaign contributions and earmarks can be brought under control.
And I certainly agree with you. I think that the best thing we could do would be to get rid of almost everybody, but I will tell you, I've run for Congress several times, and the year that I ran, 1988, I was the Republican candidate for the 16th Congressional District in California. Out of the entire nation, 450-some-odd congressmen, only two of them actually lost their jobs. That's the reality. Until we get the American people really up in arms, until the American people really have been educated, and until the American people really care, nothing's going to change. And I think right now, with the collapse of our monetary system, although this is going to bring terrible suffering, it could be the best possible thing that could happen to America.
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. Sometimes catastrophes have to happen before people wake up. Unfortunately, that's unfortunate.
But that's the reality of the way things are. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you'd like to give us a call, you have a question for Mr. Yeager, because it's a very, very good DVD. I enjoyed watching it up on the internet, and certainly I always, of course, enjoy Ed Griffin and Ed Vieira. They're both excellent presenters, and people have to understand that the monetary system is totally fraudulent. And I'm amazed they've been able to get this thing to work as long as they have, but I think we've come to the end of this whole time, and I think that this whole thing is going to begin to implode right now, and people are going to have to begin to move to protect themselves. In fact, a lot of the communities in Florida would take their money, they would put it into the central pool there they had, and this pool that would invest their money, give them a higher rate than they would have if they were just in the bank. And this one woman from one of the communities there had, $200 or $300 million. She wanted to, but she called.
Hello? Okay. Okay. Well, I hear what you're saying, and I think that, again, it's just a matter of people educating themselves on the situation, join organizations such as Freedom Force International, and get out there and make a difference by voting. I can't emphasize enough this idea of not voting for the incumbents, because the incumbents, when they get in there, they are entrenched for decades and decades. And this is not really the intent of the founders. Back when the Constitution was ratified, there was, I think it was something like 12 million people in the United States. So they didn't build term limits into the Constitution at all. There wasn't even a term limit for the president, because they didn't want farmers to have to travel for 4, 5, 6, 7 days to Washington and then only get in there for a year or so. They didn't have super highways and things like that, so it was very onerous to get to Washington. They didn't want to put any deterrence on citizens from serving. But today it's different. We have 301 million people living in the country, so there's plenty of people that can run. We've got big super highways so they can drive to Washington real easily. There's no real need where people have to make a career out of being a congressman. And if the Congress can be a little bit more fluid, like the founders wanted, if the founders wanted the senators to be in there for 4 years, and they wanted the reps to be in there for 2 years, and the idea was that the reps would come in and go and turn over more quickly. because they felt the reps would represent the passion of the people. They would represent what was more happening today, and they would reflect the passion of the current issues. On the other hand, the senators were designed to stay in there for a longer period of time to be more stable, a longer-term influence, and, hey, let's not act too quickly. Let's think this over. So as Dr. Stan was saying, right now the whole thing is just completely it's just backwards. The founders felt that the reps would come and go, but the reps actually end up staying longer and get more entrenched than the senators. And so it's exactly the opposite of what the founders wanted. And as a result, having these congressmen in there for so long, they build these social networks. And basically, if you're going to engage in collusion, which is actually vote swapping is a form of collusion, and you say to your buddy congressman, hey, you vote for this pork project, and of mine, I'll vote for your pork project, you have to really kind of know that guy. I mean, in order to collude, in order to vote swap, you have to know all your buddies in Congress pretty well, and that can only happen after terms and terms and terms. So my point is that by allowing the Congress to stay entrenched, they form social networks that facilitate collusion, bribery, and fraud, and therefore no laws get passed that are going to do the American people any good, such as term limits. If you could get the Congress purged of all the entrenched guys that want to just configure the laws in the Congress for themselves, then you're going to be able to pass some laws that actually do good for the public. The people, these congressmen come in there, they're in there forever. The first part of their term, they're in there to get there. Then they just spend the rest of their time raising money to get reelected so they can be in Congress forever.
Well, I think one of the big major disadvantages is that they get a large pension when they retire. They get wonderful health care benefits. And so, I mean, they have a vested interest in wanting to stay there. And then I'm sure some of them make a little money on the side by doing special favors for people and getting legislation passed, like Duke Cunningham. And most of them don't get caught. They caught the poor old Duke. He was a crook, and he went to prison. But the vast majority of them who are doing exactly the same thing are never punished.
Absolutely. And, you know, this might sound surprising to some people, but I have nothing against congressmen and officials getting paid really well. In fact, if they were put on a merit system where their performance was measured by statistical performance, I wouldn't mind if congressmen were paid perks and bonuses by the public, and those perks and bonuses were millions and millions of dollars. Because the federal budget is $1.8 trillion a year. So that is, any perks you pay the president or the congressman are nothing compared to what the national expenditures are. And this would keep their hands out of everything else.
But you see, you know, the problem is that usually the least needy are the most greedy. And if you pay them more and more, they'll want to stay there more and more, and they'll do whatever they have to to stay there. And that usually means a lot of more deficit spending. I mean, here, we fight wars, we don't tax the people. If we were taxing the people for the war in the Middle East today, the people would be screaming. Instead of that, they cut taxes, increase spending, and borrow from generations yet unborn.
Well, I think if you put term limits in there, then you would take away the incentive to stay in there too long, because they wouldn't be able to stay in by law.
Oh, I would agree with that. Well, the important thing is to understand the way the monetary system works. And we have a totally paper monetary system where, of course, the central bankers can simply print up more money anytime they want to. They can make money out of nothing. It's all based upon debt. And if debt system ever begins to crumble, then, of course, there'll be no money at all.
If people want to really understand how the money system works, I do recommend our film, but there's another wonderful film that's out there, just been put on Google. It's called Money as Debt. I guarantee those of you who watch this film, it's going to blow your mind, because it's going to show you exactly how fractional reserve works. It's going to show you that there is not enough money in circulation to pay the interest and all the outstanding principal out there. and it's going to show you how the calculus of the current money situation is predestined to collapse unless the certain measures are taken, such as what Ron Paul and Dr. Vieira suggest.
Well, I hope that there's time to do that at the present time. I think it's in the process of collapsing now, and I think it's going to be a very exciting 2008. I think we're living in truly exciting times.
That is absolutely true.
Well, once again, let's get your website out there, and that's fiatempire.com. Fiatempire.com, and the film is very, very well done. A tremendous amount of great information there. And people really need to become just like Paul Revere, galloping on his horse from town to town, letting people understand that this monetary system, when it goes down, is going to take most Americans and destroy all of their savings, everything they've worked their whole life for.
Right. Isn't it amazing how we don't see any of this on The Factor or on the mainstream media? They just don't even talk about... You know who was talking about the banking system, though, interestingly enough, is Cramer. And he had Dr. Paul on his show. Cramer is that mad guy that he has on the Mad Money show.
Yep. And how did Ron do when he was on there?
Pardon me?
How did Ron Paul do when he was on the Cramer program?
He was absolutely fabulous. Now, Cramer is a total madman, but he is considered a genius in the investment circles. And Cramer said on his show, and he said that he totally supports Ron Paul on his view on the Federal Reserve System, and he said that he has never been more vocal about it because, A, he felt that people weren't interested in the banking system, and, B, it just wasn't really popular for him to talk about it. But he said now that Dr. Paul is out there talking and introducing people to the issue of the Federal Reserve System, he totally agrees that the system is headed for a collapse unless the fiat money is reined in and we're put back onto some kind of a gold or silver standard.
Amen to that. Well, we're out of time. James, thank you so very much for being with us. We look forward to getting on another program. God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is, of course, the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree there was a message we have, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. That's 1-800-544-8927. Now, to understand what's going on now, let me suggest the pamphlet. It's made up of five of my newsletters. It's called The History of Money. It's only $3.95, I think, plus shipping. Then you want to get my talk on the financial tsunami, available on DVD or on video. You can get it along with the syllabus, and you really would want to get the syllabus because it'll help you to understand what's going on, and the text of the talk is there. And you want to read it through several times. You want to understand what derivatives are, what the carry trade is, how the oil is going to impact on this, and the Social Security and Medicare system, which are underfunded, are going to impact on the coming financial tsunami. Then, of course, the book that was mentioned, The Creature from Jekyll Island. We carry the book. We think it's important. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, a little book written by my friend Anthony Sutton before he passed away. And then the book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. They're all available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have another couple of books by Professor Sutton. One is called Gold for Investment. Another is called Gold for Survival. And they're just the books on gold. Two other books written on gold by Professor Sutton. And he was a prolific writer, did some great work. And you have to have something behind the value of your currency. If you don't, your currency, of course, can become totally useless literally overnight. In fact, that's what happened in Argentina. Just a few years ago, when people went to bed one night and they were promised by their government that the currency was sound, and they woke up the next morning to find out they'd lost three-quarters of the value of everything they had in the bank. And the people who were foolish enough to believe the government simply lost three-quarters of what they had. So you need to begin making preparations now. And financial tsunami, my talk, gives you, some sound advice. And remember, I'm not a financial counselor. But I'm telling you that you've got to move to protect yourself. The History of Money pamphlet, the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and the book, and it's just a little tiny book, but it's called Fiat Money, Inflation in France, Gold for Investment, Gold for Survival, all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, you can go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can pull our programs down live. You can pull them down on MP3 or certainly on many of them are just stored there. And, of course, then you can watch the DVDs. We have a number of DVDs that there. We don't charge you. You can pull down our newsletters going back a number of years. You can see the various items that we do carry to help finance our network of almost 60 stations or outlets every single week, as we reach out 5 hours every day trying to educate people and make them understand that there is a spiritual force behind everything going on today. And if you want to know what that spiritual force is, of course, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, and my talk, The Forbidden Secret. the forbidden secret, because it's all there. And then, of course, the secret behind the secret four-tape set or DVD, the spiritual, the book on spirituality by Joanna Michelson, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Pray for America, please.
Introducing the most efficient gravity filter available. You know, if you were to throw 100 ball bearings at a magnet, most would bounce off. But if you placed them on the magnet, all would stick. The same principle applies in water filtration. Most filtration systems force water through the filter at 60 to 90 PSI, causing water molecules to race through the filter in less than a second. The Berkey Light is different. Water molecules take 5 to 10 minutes to pass through the torturous path of the self-sterilizing filters. This allows the proprietary media formulation to remove and reduce pathogenic bacteria, cysts, chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, organic solvents, foul tastes, odors, heavy metals, and nitrates. It is so powerful it purifies raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds.
Get the Advanced Berkey Light Purifier for only $279 by calling New Millennium 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming into from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Dennis Cuddy, good friend who has taught at the university level, or been a consultant to government and private corporations, and he's a prolific writer. We carry a number of his publications, which, let me suggest, Conspiracy, Secret Records Revealed, excellent. We carry his books on mental health. But anyway, Dr. Cuddy, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so I'm going to let you just go ahead and pick up the story there.
Okay, the newest column that I have on News with Views is titled Iraq, Iran, and Pakistan. And sometimes what I do at the beginning of an article is I give a note that often has to do with whatever's going on at the moment, or a follow-up to the previous article that I had. And the previous article I had about the North American Union and so forth, I begin this particular one with a note that if you want a glimpse at the future plans of the power elite, as I refer to them, it's a good idea to look at European Union Secretary General Javier Solana any time. He has his own website, and I give a connection there within my article, a link, so you can get right to it. But in this particular situation, it's his September 20th, 2007 article, Where We Stand. It has a long subtitle. But in there, Javier Solana is one of the most powerful men in the world. And so if you want to see where we're going, it's good to see what his writing and thinking and his speeches say. And he says in this one, quote, sovereignty is now expressed by a seat at the table. Now, understand what he means. It's not that you have a right to control your borders. It's simply a seat at the table. Now, when you have a seat at the table, there are, of course, going to be other seats, right? So just you sitting at a table where there are lots of people talking about some issue, he equates that with sovereignty. Notice you're not by yourself. You don't have complete authority over this, whatever they're talking about. It's you just sit at this table and you discuss with others what you're going to do. And that he considers sovereignty.
Well, of course, he really wants to do away with sovereignty. And doesn't he actually say that in his article? We really need to limit sovereignty?
Right. He goes on and says the world is moving to a system of continents. And he further says, I'm convinced that we need stronger regional organizations. And he specifies African Union, ASEAN, Latin American structures, and so on. And that's part of the Cecil Rhodes plan. You would have this world government, and you would have these continents like the North American Union, and these would be regional organizations, and then you would link them up into a world government is what Cecil Rhodes' plan was.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And, of course, our guest for this hour will be Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who's taught at the university level, has been a consultant for many years, and certainly he's a prolific writer. You can read his articles regularly at newswithviews.com. But certainly the major thrust behind everything going on today is to bring about a one-world government. That's why we're building up the economy of our enemies, of China and of Russia. And that is why we're fighting in the Middle East today, so we'll have governments there that will be willing to go along with the world government, puppet governments, as you will. And, of course, one of the leaders of this whole movement is a man named Javier Solana. He is the Secretary General of the European Union, the Western Division of that, and Dr. Cuddy was just saying it was well to, if you want to know what's really going on, keep your eyes on Javier Solana. And he'd recently given a speech or written, talking about this idea of, well, we need to sort of do away with sovereignty. People can come and sit at the table, but their sovereignty of their nation is going to be done away with, and that's what they want to do with it. Go right ahead there, Dr. Cuddy.
Sure, and that's what he means by continents. You know, we're going to organize by continents. That would be the North American Union, for example, the North American continent, and then he says there would be stronger regional organizations, and he says the African Union, then ASEAN, which would be Asia, Latin American structures, and so on. And he's basically reinterpreting the word sovereignty, which usually means an individual nation has control over its own destiny, its trading agreements, and so forth. But he's saying it's more collective. You have this seat at the table. You are one of many, and all of you together sort of decide what you're going to do, not you alone as a nation. And so that's one of their typical strategies. They redefine terms to fit what they want. And Javier Solana is part of this Cecil Rhodes plan because he was really just a physics teacher in the state of Virginia some years ago, and now through the efforts of Bill Clinton and Clinton's Rhodes Scholar roommate Strobe Talbot in the State Department, along with our ambassador to Spain under Bill Clinton, Richard Gardner, another Rhodes Scholar, they saw to it that Javier Solana got to where he is today because he was, you know, important element. They needed the military head of NATO to be a Rhodes Scholar, of course, and that was
Wesley Clark.
So Javier is just part of this plan.
Hold that thought, please. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and unfortunately, we're having some electronic problems. We're in the middle of a storm here in the West Coast. So if you do get a little unusual noise, please put up with it. Anyway, Dr. Cuddy is simply talking about the important point that that Javier Solana plays in ruling the world today. He is the Secretary General of the Western European Union. And go right ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Sure. He's also Secretary General of the European Union itself. And continuing this this quote, he goes on and says, "To organize our globalized world, we need to tame power." And he says by that he means extending the rule of law internationally. That's world law. And he goes on, "One big problem is that," he says, "one big problem is that we, although that we... we live in a globalized world, but our politics remain local or national," is what he says. And then he goes on about Europe specifically, saying Europe will have to apply itself to the task of promoting the emergence of a new international order, just like New World Order. And he says it will be based on clear rules and strong institutions, end quote. And his website, I give it next, there'll be a link to that in my article. And then I say, relevant to the power elite's plans, I've mentioned before Cecil Rhodes' secret society of the elect, and of course I've mentioned that one of the people in the Rhodes Trust was Rudyard Kipling, who has swastikas on his early books, and this is long before Adolf Hitler. And in 1898, Kipling wrote something rather telling. He said, quote, "When he shows at seeking quarter with paws like hands in prayer, that is the time of peril, P-E-R-I-L, the time of the truce of the bear." And he uses a capital T and a capital B for truce and bear.
All right, fine. I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind giving that direct quotation from Javier Solana once more time. Some of our listeners didn't get it.
Okay, backing up to Javier Solana's quote, he says, quote, "Sovereignty is now expressed by a seat at the table. The world is moving to a system of continents. I am convinced that we need stronger regional organizations, the African Union, ASEAN, that's for Asia, Latin American structure, so on. To organize our globalized world, we need to tame power." That means extend the rule of law internationally, he says. And he continues, "One big problem is that we all know that we live in a globalized world, but our politics remain local or national. Europe will have to apply itself to the task of promoting the emergence of a new international order based on clear rules and strong institutions," end quote. And then I give a link to his website and his speech. And he has other speeches, too. And then I was just quoting Rudyard Kipling in 1898, since Kipling was part of the Rhodes Trust, as it was called, Cecil Rhodes' group, saying, "When he shows that seeking quarter with paws like hands in prayer, that is the time of peril, the time of the truce of the bear," end quote. In other words, this bear is going to be rather tricky. And I specifically put that in here because of what's happening today in Russia. If you look at a Russian state news agency called Novosti, on December 10th, it published an article called "Russian Bear," in quotes, bear was in quotes, "who loves Black Sabbath, set to succeed Putin," end quote. And what this is the successor to Putin, who's now running Russia, has already been selected. They usually do select their successors. And it, the article is about the first deputy prime minister, and his name is Dmitry Medvedev. And what's interesting about that name, Medvedev, is the surname comes from the Russian word for bear. And it says here that he loves heavy metal, hard rock music like that of Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin, and I think Deep Purple is another one of those rock groups he loves. And Black Sabbath, of course, that name originated in the occult. And so why am I putting that here? Well, because Dr. Stan often mentions how this is really a spiritual battle. And a lot of these people are involved in the occult. And so here you have this this Russian, the successor to Putin, the next ruler of Russia with all of his nuclear weapons, having a name that rhymes with bear, and as they try to appear rather peaceful, right? Remember what Kipling said, the time of the truce of the bear is when you're really in peril. In other words, a truce is really peril because it's a false truce. It's fake. And so here we have this fellow coming to power, going to be the head of Russia. His name, surname comes from the word bear. And this guy likes Black Sabbath, a hard rock music, and a band which originated in the occult. And so this is all very, very timely in terms of sort of end times. And so that's what my beginning note says. And then I get to the main body of the article, which is about Iraq, Iran, and Pakistan. Because oftentimes when you look at the news, you really don't get the full picture. I mean, you get a glimpse. You say, well, the surge does this, and, you know, this week so many casualties occurred, and, you know, we're starting troop withdrawal, whatever. But it seems to me sort of difficult to get a real handle on what's actually going on there, what the situation is and where problems are, because the media is not telling you this stuff. And so because the media is not adequately described what's going on, I thought it'd be useful to give a fuller picture of what's happening. And a lot of the information I have comes from a source, I won't name. But he's been in Iraq for most of the time, probably, since 2003, when this war began.
The first time I
heard from him, he called me up before he went and asked,
what
did he expect over there, and so I told him about the sectarian violence and so on. But anyway, the point is he's been there pretty much all of the time, or most of the time, for the last 4 years, and so he has a pretty good handle. He's not the only source for this article, but a lot of it does come from him since he's right there.
And he was telling me about one of the myths
about Iraq, and that is that we keep hearing about this vast
Shia
or Shiite majority, Muslim majority. He actually said only a little over half of the population is Shiite. About 40% are Sunni Muslim, and that's if one includes the Kurds and the Turkmen, who are actually Sunnis themselves. He also said, in terms of this Shia control, he said that the Shia impact politically is also lessened when one realizes there is a rift, R-I-F-T, between the Iraqi Arab Shia and the Persian or the Iranian Shia who are in Iraq. So there's really a split there. It's not a solid Shia front.
The Shia do have
obviously a large majority represented in the national parliament, but you have to remember that that's due to some extent because the Sunnis boycotted the last election. You remember Muqtada al-Sadr and others said, you know, this we're not going to go along with this, we're not going to participate, and so we'll boycott. And in addition, the large Shia majority has to do with a fairly sizable group of Persians or Iranians. And what happened was when Saddam was in charge, if they would come over into Iraq and not leave, they would actually be arrested. But since Saddam left, what's happened is a lot of those people who have come from Iran, Persians, they would come over to, let's say, Kufa or other, you know, sites of pilgrimage, and then they wouldn't leave. I mean, they wouldn't go home. They just stay there. And so those people were allowed to vote in Iraq in that last election. So that's why you have this rather sizable Shia majority, but it's really somewhat misleading. The next election cycle is probably going to be fairly different, and much of the internal displacement, you keep hearing about lots of Iraqis, and it's true, about 2 million Iraqis have been displaced, but a lot of that internal displacement has to do not only, you know, with saving their skins, you know, being Sunnis in a Shia neighborhood or vice versa. But a lot of the displacement has to do with that next election cycle that's coming up. And that in mind, you know, we're going to go here where we'll have a more dominant role in this particular province, you know, and we'll get our people in elected in power and so on. And in addition, there are about 1 to 2 million Iraqis in Jordan and another 1 to 1.5 million in Syria. However, a number of them are now beginning to return to Iraq, so that's going to be a difference as well. There's, you know, certain places are still dangerous, but to some extent, some of them are returning home. Now, a second myth about Iraq is that the religious mullahs are actually in control. You hear a lot about, I guess, right at the first, the Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani. Well, actually, the mullahs, only controlled Basra and the surrounding area in the southeast, and by that I mean really controlled. The Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, who, you know, the U.S. made a big deal about at the first of the war, now he seems to be engaged mostly in just writing these religious fatwas, you know, how many times to do whatever, religious directives, and not much involved in the political situation at all. And so that's another myth. Two reasons, among others, that the U.S. wanted a presence in Iraq were its oil, and that Iraq is more secular than, for example, Saudi Arabia. And if your listeners were reading in the news around the first part of November, Hans Blix, former chief UN weapons inspector, actually made a rather telling statement on November 7th. of 2007, when he was asked about the situation there. And he said, quote, "One fear I would have is that the U.S. has a hidden thought to remain in Iraq. One reason why they wanted in was that they felt they must leave Saudi Arabia. After the Gulf War in 1991, they left their troops in Saudi Arabia to protect pipelines. And when they felt they could no longer stay in Saudi Arabia, Iraq was the next best place because it was more secularized than Saudi Arabia and had the second biggest oil reserves in the region, period."
Hold that thought right there. Well, Dr. Stan, I'm going to ask Dennis, would you mind holding up, hanging up? We're going to go ahead and hook you up again. But if you wouldn't mind hanging up, and then we'll go ahead and call you right back, okay?
Okay.
Okay, fine. So we're going to disconnect and then go from there. Anyway, first, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that people understand that we are not over in Iraq for all the purposes that we're being told. We intend to keep our troops in Iraq, and unfortunately, I fear that we're going to, keep them there indefinitely. And as long as our troops are there, they're going to come under attack. I mean, we are looked upon as by the Iraqis as the occupying forces. And I'm going to ask my producer to try to call Dr. Cuddy right back at this time. Please try to call Dr. Cuddy right back so we can talk to him. Anyway, of course, but the plan is, and I'm sure, that the American forces will be stationed there, whether it be 50,000 of them, 75, 100,000, I don't know. We're going to keep our forces in Iraq, and of course the killing, the death will continue. The British, tried to occupy Iraq after the First World War, and eventually it just wasn't worth all this. But you see, the real motivation behind America's involvement in Iraq is we want our troops there so first of all we can control the government there so that they will go along with our globalist agenda, and then I think that we want the troops there because we are going to go to war with the Muslim world, and I think that that'll be an advent of World War III. Dr. Cuddy, you're back.
Yes, sir.
All right, you go right ahead. Let's hope that we have a better connection then.
Do I pick up with the Blix quote? Or
you could pick up with the Blix quote. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. What I was saying is, let me actually preface before the Blix quote, and Dr. Sand, you can put your two cents in about this, because you actually were pointing me to that statement by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, where back on October 12th, he was giving his own assessment. Now, he had been the commanding general there in Iraq in the early stages of the Iraq War. And this is just this past October 12th, and he's giving this this assessment. It was to a convention of military journalists, actually. And he said, quote, "There is no question that America is living a nightmare with no end in sight." And he says some other things, and then he says, "From a catastrophically flawed, unrealistically optimistic war plan, to the administration's latest surge strategy, this administration has failed to employ and synchronize the political, economic, and military power. Continuing changes, of course, to military strategy, says, alone won't achieve victory. It'll only, as he says, stave off defeat. And then he says, quote, the administration, Congress, and the entire interagency, especially the State Department, must shoulder the responsibility for this catastrophic failure, and the American people must hold them accountable, end quote. And then he went on and acknowledged.
So hold that thought right there for a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Cuddy was quoting Hans Bleck, who had been the head of the UN Commission on Nuclear Energy there. And Bleck had made a statement that he was concerned that the Americans intended to stay in Iraq. They weren't going to be there just to, you know, suddenly get the country stabilized. They wanted to stay in Iraq. And, of course, Bleck was smart enough to know that if the Americans stay in Iraq, there will be continued to be violence there because, of course, even though the Shias and the Sunnis hate one another, they hate the Americans more because we are occupying their holy land. And then Dr. Cuddy was quoting from Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, who on the 12th of October of this year gave a talk before a convention of military reporters and talked about how our policy was failing. Now, he commanded the coalition forces from June of 2003 to June of 2004. And, of course, his comment was that we have a totally failed plan, that we can put all the more troops in the surge we want, but it's not going to make any difference. All we can do is hold off defeat. Now, this, remember, is the commanding general in Iraq saying, all we can do is hold off defeat. Go right ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Right, and he's kept up with the situation, and he says what the administration hasn't done is synchronize the political, economic, and military power, which he has there. And he says the administration and Congress and the entire interagency, including State Department, must shoulder the responsibility for this failure, and the Americans must hold them accountable. Now, somebody asked him, well, haven't they started, you know, to make some sort of progress here, and he acknowledged U.S. officials had adopted an idea that might have some substance, but he says, quote, and it is not synchronized. He says they don't have the necessary non-military resources to carry it out, and it's not synchronized, and there is no enforcement of the strategy, he said. So he's even criticizing the supposed success that we have, seems apparent there at the moment. Now, why am I reading this? Well, the point is, he really doesn't realize that we don't want a complete victory. I mean, if we had a complete victory, you know, now or a year ago or in 2004, whatever, then there wouldn't be any reason for us to be there.
And I think it's really another no-win war. Korea was a no-win war. Vietnam was a no-win war. Iraq is a no-win war. But we can't let the American people know that. We've got to keep them behind the war, behind our boys. But if you were really behind the boys, you would expose the fraud that's going on. And here is a three-star general saying this is, in essence, a no-win war. Incidentally, my December newsletter will have the whole segment of General Ricardo Sanchez's address that deals with Iraq. You'll certainly want to get the December newsletter. You can request it now. Go right ahead.
Very good. The point I want to stress here is that while he's making this critique, he doesn't apparently realize that this sort of non-synchronization is deliberate, that we really don't want a complete victory, and we haven't. Because if you have a complete victory, then there's no real reason for you to be there, and the whole objective was to have a permanent military presence there. So we can't do it right. He's astounded that this is a failed policy, but he doesn't appreciate the fact that it's a sort of deliberately failed policy. And that the reason I'm mentioning that here is it fits with Hans Blick's statement on November 7th, shortly after Lieutenant General Sanchez made his statement. On November 7th, Hans Blick, who was the former chief UN's weapons inspector, said, quote, this is Blick's now, one fear I, that's Blick's, would have is that the U.S. has a hidden thought to remain in Iraq. And he's exactly right. He goes on. One reason why they wanted in, that's the U.S., wanted in there, was that they felt they must leave Saudi Arabia. After the Gulf War in 91, they left their troops in Saudi Arabia to protect pipelines. And when they felt they could no longer stay in Saudi Arabia, Iraq was the next best place because it was more secularized than Saudi Arabia and had the second biggest oil reserves in the region, end quote. So there's Blix's assessment that we want to remain there. And obviously you can't have, you know, complete victory and then say, well, we're going to stay there. So Blix has a point to make there. And we can pick up after the break.
All right, fine. Well, we'll go right ahead. And certainly our guest this evening is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And what we're doing, of course, is talking about the tragic situation in Iraq, where we're sending our boys to fight another no-win war. It's not popular to say that, but remember, Korea was a no-win war. Vietnam was a no-win war. And unfortunately, Iraq and Afghanistan are no-win wars. Let's bring our boys home. Let's expose the globalists. Well, Dr. Cuddy, you go right ahead, pick up the story there.
Okay, a third myth that the American people are operating under in terms of Iraq, and the media isn't explaining to them, and which would shed some light on this, and that's why one reason I'm doing this article, is we hear a lot about the head of Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, the prime minister of their National Assembly, and that he owes his power to this cleric, Muqtada al-Sadr, whom I mentioned earlier, and his Mahdi army. And I've talked about them, and al-Sadr does exist, and he can cause trouble, and yes, there is this Mahdi army which he formed, and it has to do with the return of the Mahdi and their prophecy and so on. But when you get down to the specifics, Sadr is a nationalist Shia, and he really, at this time, he did start the Mahdi army, but at this time, he really doesn't have direct control over that army, the Mahdi army now. And the reason is, at the lower levels, you know, the sort of grunt soldiers that are actually doing most of the fighting, they've received a great deal of their training and funding directly from Iran. And so it's more Iran that's calling the shots. Maliki, the prime minister, his real sources of power actually come from Iran, because he lived there and in Syria when he was in exile, when Saddam Hussein was in power. Maliki spent his time in exile both in Iran and in Syria. And a second source of his power, because money's important, is his finance minister, Bayan Jaber, J-A-B-R. Those are the two main sources of Maliki's power. Now, in addition to being supported by Sadr does support him, Maliki also receives considerable support from the Shia. He's a Shia. A conservative militant Dawa, D-A-W-A party, it was formerly called the Islamic Call Party, and the Badr, B as in boy, A-D-R organization. And the Badr organization is the military wing of the what's called the Supreme Islamic Iraqi Council. It's a political party. And it was originally founded by Iran to fight Saddam's Ba'athist regime in Iraq. The Badr organization currently is headed by a fellow up in years somewhat called Abdul Aziz al-Hakim. He's a Shia cleric, and he's supported by Iran, but he's dying with a certain type of cancer, and so what he's trying to do is consolidate the power and leadership around his son, who would be his successor. Now, in terms of the sectarian violence that is going on today, the Sadr supporters have a temporary ceasefire. The press has said that. They've informed us that his supporters do have this temporary ceasefire.
Hold that right there, please. Just for a moment, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, Dr. Dennis Cuddy. And, of course, if you want to get Dr. Cuddy's material, you go up to newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And certainly you can pull down his articles. If you'd like to get his publications, why, you call us at Radio Liberty. And we carry his publication on mental health, his publication on conspiracy, secret records revealed, and several other items of the chronology of the New World Order. But Dr. Cuddy has simply been going into the background of this Mataqwa al-Sadir, who's the black turbaned Iraqi. He's a Shia. He has the Mahdi army. They got about 60,000 troops there. If we really wanted to take over the country, wouldn't you think we would put down a private army? That would be the logical thing to do. If you wanted to keep unrest, then you'd have let everybody have a private army, and that's what pretty well we're doing, because they've got several private armies there in Iraq at the present time. So we disband the regular army, which we could have used initially to have maintained law and order, and then we allow these private armies to operate. Now we've retrained an Iraqi army, but it's predominantly Shia, and so they, of course, go after the Sunnis every time they can. And, well, go right ahead.
The Sadr supporters, who had been about a year ago causing a lot of the problems, have this what's called a temporary ceasefire. It's not really clear how all that'll be. The Sadr is sort of getting his feet wet a little bit in political terms, and you know, see how he can muscle his way politically. But it's a temporary ceasefire. The ones who have been causing most of the problems more recently are the Badr. Sadr is S as in Sam, A-D-R, Muqtada al-Sadr. And then there's another group called Badr, B as in boy, A-D-R. Those forces are and have been right along attacking the Sunnis, but they tend to avoid direct confrontation with U.S. forces because they're rather smart. You know, they don't want to lose a lot of people on just a few operations. Now, under Saddam, what you had was the Sunnis and Shia in Iraq tended to get along fairly well. Yes, there is an attitude among the Sunnis and Shia that the other sides are apostate and so on. And yes, they have had confrontations. But under Saddam, anyway, who ruled with an iron fist, you would even have intermarriages happening between Sunnis and Shia. The Shia are the more pious of the two religious groups, the two Islamic groups, the more religiously oriented. And if you go to a place they control, like I said originally, the Iran-dominated Basra area, the surrounding area there in the southeast, you will find that religious principles are very, very strictly enforced. But if you go to a Sunni-dominated area, there's really only minimal enforcement of Islamic principles. You'll see women sometimes wearing, you know, not complete burqas and completely clothed and so on. So the Sunnis are less pious or religiously oriented. I mean, they're still Muslim. They're still, you know, operating according to Muslim principles, but they're they're less strict about it. Now, in terms of the sectarian violence in Iraq, that's been caused a lot by the militias, as Dr. Stan was saying, your private armies. And Maliki's central government has failed to disband them. I mean, you'd think we or they or somebody, if we're really serious about stabilizing Iraq, would just disband these militias. But they have they and we have studiously avoided that. And one reason, perhaps, is that the sort of day-to-day operation of preserving order there is left to the police. But the police, about 75% of the police, are embedded with Shia militia members. So, you know, there's one major problem. The police is who you would rely upon to, preserve law and order day in and day out in the streets and, you know, prevent robberies and sort of common crimes. But 75% of the police are Shia militia members. Now, Iran, if you want to look for the real source of most of the problems, Iran actually is the source for a great deal of the violence there in Iraq today, because it not only provides funding, it provides weapons. That's their the IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, and actually personnel, fighters as well. Now, they supply that not only to the militia members who support them, but also to Al-Qaeda as well. Now, Al-Qaeda isn't a huge presence, but it is a presence there in Iraq. Initially, what happened was the Shia did have a majority. They started with Muqtada al-Sadr saying, you know, we've got to kill the Sunnis, and the Sunnis didn't like that. So originally, the Sunnis would harbor a lot of the Al-Qaeda members because, you know, they're getting beat up on. They're the minority. They needed some help. But what happened was about a year and a half ago, Al-Qaeda stupidly, I mean, even Osama bin Laden has criticized what they did there. They would, you know, mistreat Sunni women and others, just treat them very badly. And so the Sunnis got tired of this. And so now they're pretty much leaving out the support of Al-Qaeda in droves. So Al-Qaeda no longer really has that base to operate, but they shift. You know, they'll shift from one spot to another. And there were two car bomb attacks on Christmas Day in what's called Beiji and Bakuba. And then those are two areas where Al-Qaeda does seem to be regrouping its forces. And, of course, it's also increasingly active in Pakistan, especially northwest Pakistan. And there's an author named Gail Sheehy, and she said that Al-Qaeda and elements of the ISI, that's Pakistan's intelligence service, were responsible for the assassination of Benazir Bhutto a few days ago on December 27th. Actually, any day now, she will have an article in Parade magazine. The date will be January 6th issue, 2008. She'll have an article that will explain a lot of that and some other factors as well. She had interviewed Benazir Bhutto before her death. And Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and her aides had arranged for Bhutto's return to Pakistan. I mean, this wasn't, you know, Bhutto's idea. She was sort of reluctant. But Condi Rice and her aides said, no, you know, you've got to come back, you know, and save the day. So they were persuading Bhutto to return to Pakistan to run for prime minister with U.S. support, which he did. Bhutto was still really, you know, scared. And so she tried to get the infamous Blackwater firm to protect her. You know, she wanted to hire him, the contract. But even Blackwater said, no, no thanks. And they refused the contract. It was, you know, such a hot situation. Bhutto made an appeal that, you know, no real Muslim would kill a woman because, you know, then you go to hell and so forth. But secretly, she knew that there would be attempts on her life. And even as we speak now, there's still a great deal of controversy and uncertainty about that. You know, was she or wasn't she shot? Did she or didn't she hit her head? The Pakistani government's trying to say she fell from hitting her head at the sunroof of her car, because if it was that gunshot so near to her, then, you know, they would be under suspicion for having let that gunman get so close. You know, and they're supposed to be providing protection for these candidates for high office there. So what what you have is a situation where you may want to remember what I had written in an earlier column. Back in a News with Views column of July 23, 2007, I titled it Javier Solana and the Larger Plan. And if your listeners go back and take a look at that, what they'll see is that I referred at that time to Pakistan, quote, becoming a haven for Al-Qaeda, end quote. And Bhutto's assassination, of course, is creating a certain amount of chaos there. And in my article, I explained that the creation of chaos in Pakistan could result in foreign, that's the U.S., military intervention. And so you need to consider that possibility of what's going on there. Usually when we do something or there's a situation in the world where something occurs, what's happened is a sort of pretext has been developed or a cause to which we have to react. And so it may be that you'll want to look at that in this light, what's going on in Pakistan, because this chaos which is being created may present a situation in which nuclear missiles would fall into the hands of the radical Islamic forces, and the U.S. would say, oh my, look, because of this chaos, we really can't allow that to happen. And so Musharraf or somebody will say, yes, oh, please, you know, come in and help us. And then we, you know, we get our military presence in there as well, into Pakistan. Up until now, the Bush administration has been really reluctant, although there have been cooperative ventures between the Pakistani and American government that the press really isn't talking too much about. Now, returning to the subject of Iraq, a lot of what's happening there in Iraq today has to do with money. I mean, just pure, crass self-interest. And because Iran's behind a lot of it, there's really a couple of groups. One is the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps, and the other one is called the Iranian Covert Special Forces. They have a nickname, QODS, Quads. And what they do is not only are they creating mischief because you know, they want to stir the pot there and give the U.S. a black eye and have the Shia prophecy fulfilled and so forth for a greater Iran. But it almost always comes down to a lot of money makes. Somebody makes a lot of money. And in this case, these two organizations make a great deal of money there, not only in Iran, where they are, but also in Iraq by smuggling. And the reason they want to make a lot of money isn't just, you know, because it's self-interest, but money buys influence. So if you have a tremendous amount of money, then you can pay people to do your bidding. You can pay politicians or, you know, so-called religious quasi-leaders or young people or whoever. And so what's happening there, I think, is the pursuit of what's called a greater Iran. And that would include not only Iran, but Iraq to its west, and smaller countries, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates and Oman, and then it would, you know, broaden out into Syria and then Lebanon and all of that, of course, leading up to Israel. And relevant to that, this desired expansion of power, you need to remember a biblical passage, since I was talking about the spiritual element before, and Russia. In this case, Ezekiel 38, verse 5, reveals that Persians, that's what it says, that's Iranians, will come against Israel. Now, geographically, that, you know, that would seem back then rather hard to do because, you know, if you're all you're doing is riding camels or walking and so forth, you got to wonder, well, Persians, you know, I mean, that's Persia. Iran's a long way from Israel. I mean, a really long way. And so it doesn't really seem realistic. But if you look at it in today's light, it makes perfect sense. Because the Persians, the Iranians, would gain a dominance in Iraq. They would therefore have access to Iraq. Then they have an ally in Syria on the western side of Iraq, so they could, you know, have their troops go through there. Then they could move easily down through Lebanon because, you know, they support Hezbollah and Hamas, mainly Hezbollah. And so it'd be very easy for the Persians to move against Israel, which would be a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, verse 5. Now, U.S. policy toward Iran has been to hype its nuclear weapons. I mean, for, you know, on and on every week, about for a whole year. President Bush was saying, oh, we've got to watch the nuclear weapons program. This is a major threat. And you would say it provided him with a rationale for a preemptive strike against them, just like when he said there was weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and that's the reason we had to come there. But recently, just a couple of months ago, the National Intelligence Council issued this report. It's called an estimate. It's November 2007, and what it said there was that Iran had actually halted its nuclear weapons program in 2003. That's 4 years ago. Well, if you think about that, that raises a couple of problems. It raises a question of why the U.S., in the first place, took 4 years to find out about this, or if we did know about this 2003 program termination, why is the Bush administration hyped this, I guess you'd say, non-existent program now for the past 4 years? You know, you can't have it both ways. And so what you you look at this, is that the information on which it was based, this 2007 estimate, the National Intelligence Estimate, was based essentially on the same information that it had 2 years ago in 2005. So, you know, why is there a different conclusion now? And what I suspect happened was that the power elite, this last moment, sent the word back to President Bush to back off on the hype regarding Iran. And, you know, why would they do this? Well, the power elite, you have to remember, is comprised of members all over the world. It's not like, you know, all the power elite people are in the U.S. and David Rockefeller runs everything. It doesn't work like that. Now, in the end, there will be an Antichrist and, secular terms, a big brother. But up until then, you have actual members of the power elite in pretty much every country around the world. So it's not like there's one person who decides what everybody else is going to do. And so because of that, you have to look at Putin, for example, when he threatened if the U.S. took action against Iran. He made a threat that they would take that very badly. And also Communist China's ability to dump about $1 trillion of our dollars on the world market, which would cause a severe economic recession here. You have to take that into account. And if you look at that, one can surmise, I think, that this 2007 National Intelligence Estimate's less threatening conclusion about Iran didn't just happen to come out now. This was not accidental. I think it was probably released at this point for that exact reason, so that there would be a justification in backing off of all the hype about the nuclear weapons program of Iran, and that action had to take place really, really soon. So for the first 4 years of the Iraq War, of course, the U.S. policy was a disaster, just like Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez said. And there are many reasons. Iraq's central government, their white-collar corruption was very widespread, still is. A great deal, if you look at the bookkeeping, a great deal of the U.S. financial aid has gone either missing or been wasted, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars, tens of millions. And the Iraqi government has been receiving considerable money from its oil production, so it's not like it doesn't have any oil money coming in. But it promised about $10 billion for reconstruction, and thus far only about $4 billion of that total has been spent for that purpose.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Cuddy to wrap up today's program about what's really going on over in Iraq today. Well, Dr. Cuddy, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be possible to finish the entire article summarized.
Well, then we can do it. We can do it next week.
So we'll pick up on that next week. But what I would suggest your listeners do is a couple of things. First of all, look at Javier Solana's statements as a sort of guide to what the power elite's doing. Remember what their goals are. Remember, it's part of Cecil Rhodes' larger plan. That's where Javier Solana comes from. He came from virtual non-existence to being perhaps the most powerful man in the world. Look at a person who's been there, like in Iraq, like Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez. It's not just, you know, left-wing skeptics. Here's a military officer, three-star general, who's saying it's critically flawed. Even now, they don't synchronize the military, economic, and political movements that they're making. Realize that if what he's saying is true, and it is, that this can't be deliberate. I mean, the people aren't really, you know, that stupid that they wouldn't notice this long ago and have changed it. But remember, President Bush kept saying, stay the course, stay the course, stay the course. So what your listeners want to focus on is the why. Why would there be this deliberately failed policy? Well, obviously, if we want to stay there. And that's when Hans Blix's statement becomes more credible. He says he suspects, he's absolutely right, that what we're doing is trying to stay there indefinitely. And he gives his own reasons, and they're true. And there are other reasons there to have a permanent military presence. But also, I would encourage your listeners to look at this article I did, because you're simply not getting the full story on Iraq or Iran or Pakistan from the media. And so what I'm trying to do is dispel several of the myths that have gone on for quite some time to fill in some gaps with information about Muqtada al-Sadr and other organizations like the Badr organization, who you hear practically nothing about, where the power centers are, who's involved, what the problems are, and what the situation is in Iraq today. And so that's what I've tried to do and will continue to spell out next week in this particular article so that your listeners will have a fuller understanding about a situation that's gone on for 4 years that's often been misrepresented and misreported by the press and media in this country.
But it really all gets back to a new world order, a new world religion,
right,
a new world leader. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thank you so very much. Our guest has been Dr. Dennis Kelly, and we're talking about his recent article in newswithviews.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Dr. Cuddy was simply reiterating the fact that the reason that things are going on over there, the reason we have not tried to win the war, is because we want a justification for staying there. We want to keep our troops indefinitely in Iraq and in Afghanistan so we can dominate that part of the world and in preparation probably for our coming war with the Muslim world, which will be a total disaster. We'll have terrible repercussions here. And if you think gasoline is expensive today, wait till it gets up to $8 or $9 a gallon and $300 a barrel. And don't think that can't happen. They can do that because they intend to impoverish the American people. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't want you to understand. And if you're retired, they're going to destroy the value of your currency. And if you have not read my talk or heard my talk on the financial tsunami, you need to get it. That's the financial tsunami. And you need to get the syllabus that goes with it. And you need to study it. And you need to understand. And you need to make your preparations for what's going on. Now, why are we fighting in Iraq? Well, first of all, let me suggest our three pamphlet set, Foreknowledge 911. Did they know there was going to be a hijacker, an Islamic hijacker attack on America? Of course, one of the hijackers defected in April of 2000. You'll want to get the information on that. Did they know the building, the planes were coming into the Pentagon and not intercept them? Absolutely. In fact, Norman Mineta was in the control center on the morning of 9/11 and tells you exactly what happened there. You'll get the information in our three pamphlet set, Foreknowledge 911. It's really very important that you get it. We have a four tape or four CD set entitled, Why Did the Buildings Come Down? Why did the buildings come down? Why did Building 7 come down the way that it did? It looked like a controlled explosion, like you'd see when they took down a hotel. I mean, the top of the building caved in the middle. They do that, of course, so that the walls won't fall out, and then the base of the building explodes. And now, of course, according to Joel Skousen, some of the firefighters have been told they were to get out of the building because they were going to pull it, because they were going to destroy the building. And so the firefighters have come forward and said, yeah, they told us they were going to destroy the building. How did Osama bin Laden get the explosives in there? I don't think he did. I think they were in the building, and that building had to come down so the whole complex could be rebuilt. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope that many of you out there will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get the information that we've laid out there. We have a wonderful talk called Iraq, the Untold Story. And it comes with a syllabus that gives you the background of all of the wars of the last century. And every single one of them was contrived. And the war we're fighting today isn't contrived. And they are not trying to win the war. I mean, our boys are fighting, they're dying, they're fighting bravely, but you have to read the speech that General Ricardo Sanchez gave here on the October 12th. That will be our December newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, you can call and request it now. Of course, we hope you'll subscribe to the newsletter. You should be taking it, and of course, it's $25 a year. For the subscription, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. But if you'd like a free copy of the December newsletter, give us a call. And I should point out the November newsletter will be going out in a couple of days. That will complete our series on the financial Armageddon, and we will have that series available at the pamphlet form. So you can give it to your friends so that they can begin to understand what's happening financially. And, of course, why Alan Greenspan destroyed the economic system of the Western world, at least in my opinion. So we ask you, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV, WAR.